Hi, and welcome to New Life's online church service. This is our third week of online services, and we love being able to bring church to you. Now, we don't love not being able to be together in person, but we do love being able to worship together, be exhorted by God's word together, and be reminded of our reliance and dependence on the Father's grace. My name is Justin Dudney. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. On behalf of our leaders, our staff, and our whole church, I want to extend a warm welcome to you all. Thank you so much for taking time to join us and be a part of this service. In the coming weeks, we're going to continue to bring our online services to you as we as a nation continue to make every effort in order to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. In that time, we want to make sure that you are able to connect well to New Life Church, but not only that, that you connect well to each other. Now more than ever, do we need to make every effort to reach out to each other. So we want to encourage you, please text, call, or email members of your church, friends, see how they're doing, family members, and see how you can be praying for them. In this time of social distancing, we can still stay connected and be the church. We're now going to spend some time in worship. We just ask you to join us.
Calvary has bought for me. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so well in a beautiful time of worship of Jesus. Welcome to New Life Virtual Church. I'm Mike Vanderquack. I happen to be one of the pastors here. And welcome. If you're a guest and tuning in for the first time, we hope you are blessed and you get to connect with God's people, with His Word and prayer, as we worship God virtually in this time. I've been in self-quarantine now for over a week since my dad's memorial service last week. As you might know, my dad passed away. He was a day short of 89. We're grateful for his life and for his legacy. And I want to thank you specifically for so many prayers and words of encouragement and support. Patty and I have really felt them. My family has felt them. And we're so grateful. Thank you. We've reflected a lot on Dad's life, and he has prayed in his life daily, often before meals at the same time, and all throughout his life, he's had a vibrant relationship with Jesus, and he prayed, and his prayers are so familiar, you know, and I think about my dad often, and when he was in the hospital, you know, dementia began to set in. He didn't recognize us, and near the end of his life, he couldn't speak well at all, hardly at all. And even when he did speak, it didn't make much sense. It was difficult to see. One morning, I got into the hospital early. He was still sleeping, and I was just sitting there with him. It was a quiet, peaceful time, and he woke up. And the first thing he did is he began to pray. Clearly and aloud. He gave God praise for his beauty. He thanked God for creation. He confessed his sins and thanked God for grace. He thanked him for caring for him in hard times. And he had this beautiful personal time of prayer that was vivid and clear as you could ever imagine. And he ended the prayer with, "In Jesus' name, amen." Wow. Here was Dad, disconnected from reality because of his age and dementia, and here he just gave a very clear prayer. The last thing my dad did was pray. And perhaps in this time, this is the thing that we could do too. We can pray. There's not much else we feel we can do. The times are difficult. So let's transition now from New Life as a time of fasting. Our leaders and pastors have been fasting in the last couple weeks. And now let's transition to daily prayer together. And let's do it regularly at the same time so that we all know that at 9 a.m. every day, we are all praying. And if you're wondering what you can pray for, I suggest you listen to the Spirit's guidance, but let me give you two ideas. First, let's pray that God would meet people in their point of need, so that they would know that God is real and that God would care for them. And second, in this time when everything is up ends, let's pray for worldwide spiritual renewal. Let's pray that God would meet people where they are in their need, and let's pray for worldwide spiritual renewal. The last thing my dad could do was pray, and perhaps it's the most powerful thing he did, and it's the most powerful thing we could do. Join with me just for a minute in prayer. Jesus, thank you that you meet people in their need. And we pray you would do so in such a real time as this now. And as people are looking for things to be dependable, may people learn to trust you with their lives. May there be a worldwide spiritual renewal. And we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, New Life, we got this daily at 9 a.m., okay? And we want to make sure as a church that we are able to support you in your needs. And if you need help, if you're self-isolated or you have health concerns and you can't get your needs, groceries or whatever you need, let us know. We have a lot of volunteers that want to help you out. Just let us know your needs and we'll do our best to try to help you. Many people, too, are struggling at this time financially. Jobs are in jeopardy. Their hours are being cut back, or maybe they're being laid off, or if they have a business, their business is being shut down or has already. This is really a time of stress financially. We as a church, New Life, we're here for you. We want to let you know that if you have a need, we want to help you. Please let us know. Our deacons would love to help you, and we want to offer that to you, that if you are in a time of need, let us know. And what I have learned about the New Life Church family is that it loves to give. Some of us have been able to give, and God has given this church incredible joy in its giving. And since we're not gathering regularly on Sunday mornings, where we pass the offering plate, that sacred time of our worship service together, some of you haven't been able to give in that way, and that's your primary way of giving. Others of you have been able to give regularly still because you're online giving. You set up with e-transfer or automatic withdrawal, or you use our app. We've been working to try to provide ways for people that want to give and aren't able to give, and you can do that through the app. Let us know if you need help with that. We'd love to help. We also desire to be strong in our ministry as we help others and we bring services to you, and so your giving is helpful. It's worship as well. Let us in this virtual service now take a moment for giving. We're going to designate this offering for our New Life missionaries who serve all around the world. And we also want to give you a chance to give to New Life Ministries as we want to stay strong in our ministry in this time. You can do so if you want through our New Life app, and both options are available there to give. Let me say a word of prayer as we give now. Lord Jesus, thank you for New Life Church, and we pray for the needs of all the people around us, for your name to be glorified, for spiritual renewal. As we give now to New Life missionaries and to New Life Ministries, we pray, Jesus, that you would multiply the gift for your glory and for your ministry. And we pray, Jesus, that you would bless the giver and continue to give wonderful joy to those that give. And those who are unable to give at this time, we pray your provision for them and that their needs would be met. Thank you that as a church, we're all together. We're all connected by your Spirit, and we're called to care for and bless each other. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our ministry to kids continue, and Pastor Sam, our children's ministry pastor, has put together something especially for children. And if you look in the description of this video just down below, you will find a link to a children's ministry sermon that is on the same topic that Pastor Nathan is going to speak on in just a minute. So if you can load up that sermon or that kid's message for kids on a different device, maybe put some headphones on them and they can sit right next to you. And in that description down below is a PDF, a thing you can print that will have a guide for the children that they can be part of this service as well. So go ahead and do that now and get that all set up for your kids. And if you need to hit pause, that's okay. We'll be here when you come back. Also, please take pictures and text them to us or email them to us. Take pictures of where you are gathering today, right now, in virtual worship. Let us know. We'd love to connect with you in that way. Next, Pastor Nathan is coming. He's going to bring a good word from God's word for us this morning. So, Pastor Nathan, you're up. Pastor Nathan, are you ready to go? He's always ready. Pastor Nathan, you're up. All right, it's time to go. Let's go, Pastor Nathan. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah, I need to, yeah, I know. I just wanted to finish putting these things away, and I just wanted to clean up the place a little and make it, well, anyways, let's get started on the message. Yeah. So last week, we talked about the discipline of loving our neighbor and the discipline of service. We talked about radical hospitality and how that was featured as the supreme action for loving one's neighbor in the parable of the Good Samaritan. That was in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to continue on in Luke chapter 10 today to take a look at some of the next disciplines that we want to focus on. The next story after the Good Samaritan is a story about Mary and Martha hosting Jesus in their home, and Luke records that story this way. This is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, and you might want to hit the pause button once again and grab your Bible and follow along. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Martha is exercising this radical hospitality that has just been recommended through the parable of the Good Samaritan, and she's chided for it. She's faulted for it, reprimanded for that kind of hospitality by Jesus. Why? Well, in fact, the problem is not Martha's hospitality. The problem is not her willingness to be of service. Rather, Martha is faulted because of her distraction. I mean, Luke says in verse 40, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, but Martha, Luke writes, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Distraction was Mary's problem. And a distraction from what exactly? Well, the better part of hospitality is not whether your house is clean or whether the food is delectable or whether the host is exquisite. Instead, the primary part of hospitality is whether you look or whether you're paying attention to your guests. The primary part of hospitality is whether you're attentive, whether you're listening to the people who are welcomed into your home, whether you are present for them. You see, I wonder what it was like for you when I was busy putting away the dishes, seemingly too busy to pay attention to you sitting there on your couch or wherever you are right now, waiting for me to offer this message to you. I mean, other than perhaps it was amusing or even confusing, if it was a real occurrence, you'd have probably been annoyed. Or at least you would have simply given up and walked away thinking, oh, he doesn't have time for us. So we're in this series on Christian practices that help us cultivate a friendship with Jesus, a transforming friendship, a friendship that ultimately changes who we are. But we're also in the middle of this coronavirus outbreak. So we are in the midst of a major distraction in our usual living. And some of us are just all around anxious, and others of us are fearful, perhaps of our jobs, or we're worried about relatives, or we're anxious about plans we've made that aren't going to be fulfilled. And it's hard to concentrate on living, on just carrying on in our lives. And it's even harder than to focus on faith and to live our lives according to following hard after Jesus. So this morning I want to offer you three disciplines that you might try to maintain your focus on faith, to relieve some of the anxiety and the tension that you might be feeling, to fix your eyes on Jesus yet again. So these are disciplines, and that means that they perhaps may require a little bit of effort, and they might be a little unusual. Perhaps you even practice them to some extent or other, even now. But they will require effort. But they're practices by which you can structure your life and will in fact help you get through this time of upheaval even. The first practice is solitude. Perhaps in the context of the story we read, your impression is that Mary just naturally was more contemplative, and so it was easy for her to fall at Jesus' feet to listen and learn. Or at best, or perhaps at worst, maybe Mary was just more lazy and she didn't feel like helping out Mary or Martha, and so, well, she just plopped herself down in front of Jesus because it was easier. When in fact, probably neither is really the case. You see, Mary's action was actually quite countercultural. To sit at Jesus' feet, to listen and learn from him, was something that only men did. To be a disciple to a rabbi, to a teacher of the law in Jewish culture, that was something only men did. And so what Mary had chosen to do was, in fact, quite extraordinary. She went against the obvious expectations in that culture that women only prepared all things for hospitality reasons. They certainly didn't sit down to listen and learn from a rabbi. So this was a very deliberate action on Mary's part, a considerable choice. Our action, to place ourselves in solitude, to come away for a time and be by yourself, is in fact quite a countercultural action of our own. I mean, think about it. Somebody asks you, how you doing? You say, oh, I'm really busy these days. Or maybe you're saying, oh man, I'm so tired. We're all about action. We're all about doing. And we're all about engaging with everything that is around us. So curiously, in this time of social distancing, might be a perfect time for us to begin to practice this spiritual discipline of solitude. So go ahead and maybe think about finding yourself a place that you can claim as your place of solitude. And for some of us, that's going to be easier than others, I suppose. I mean, for myself, it's just me and my wife in the house, and so it's pretty easy for me to claim my spot there in the corner of the living room and say that's my place of solitude, and there's not going to be anybody else around. But it's not just about being alone either. Claiming solitude and engaging in the practice of solitude is about intentionally being with God. To spend time alone, concentrating on listening for God. Because God always has perfect hospitality. He's always attentive to you. He's always there for you, present for you. The practice of solitude is the practice of making that a reality in your life, allowing room in your life to engage with God. Listen for his voice. In solitude, it's not just about being alone, it's about emptying yourself. Solitude is about emptying yourself of all of the other go-to options that you have in your life to define yourself. Solitude is about placing yourself all alone so that you make God your only go-to to define who you are and what it is that you are about. In solitude, you get to empty yourself of all of the distractions that convince you to ignore your need for love, for peace, for joy, for hope, and to place that need in all kinds of other things. Things, in fact, that only God can provide in such a time as this. Our antenna is up right now because we're desperate. And so I would recommend solitude as in this time right now as the exact kind of practice that you may want to engage with to draw on the hope that only God can give, the peace that only God can give, the love that only God can give. Silence is another practice that you might want to consider. I mean, it's not just a matter of making everything quiet. In the story, given all of Martha's activity, it wasn't that everything around Mary was quiet. It was that Mary was silent. She silenced herself in front of Jesus, allowing him to speak, and allowing herself to quiet herself. So silencing yourself doesn't mean absolute quietness, but rather it means quieting yourself. And that's why this seems to go hand in hand with solitude. To close yourself off for a time so that you can be silent. Silent of all of the thoughts that rush through your head. Silent of all of the answers you might think of in response to somebody else's questions. It may also mean, quite frankly, just turning off the TV in your house or turning off the music on your phone through your headphones, or maybe even just to withdraw from social media for a time, to quiet yourself, to not be distracted by everybody else's noise. It might also mean withdrawing from listening or watching the news, especially in a time such as this. Or maybe even perhaps you can take some time at night to take in the silence. I mean, things are a lot more quiet out there now that everybody is encouraged to stay at home and self-isolate. And in the silence, listen for God's voice. Listen for his words of assurance. Listen in the silence for his presence. You see, it's not just that silence is good for you. It's that your world is filled with noise that calls your attention and distracts you from focusing on following Jesus, on hearing his voice in the midst of everything else that is going on. So consider the practice of solitude or of silence or both. They go hand in hand. But I also want to say something about the practice of Sabbath. Because in this time during which we're urged to stay at home, or perhaps you simply have nowhere else to be, or you have nothing else to do elsewhere, it might be sheer frustration and anxiousness for you to just hang around at home. So let me remind you about the practice of Sabbath. Because it's not just a matter of having a day where you'll just do nothing. Perhaps you might even have a lot of those days right now. The Sabbath is a practice that reminds us that our source of life and living is in God alone. I mean, think about this. When God created the world, he rested at the end of his project of creating everything. He rested on the seventh day. He rested at the end of it because God himself is the source of all things. But when he created us, it was the sixth day, which means that the first experience that we had as human beings was the following day, a day of rest. We begin our living in rest. See, Martha was expecting that her work would be rewarded with a time of rest. After she was done everything else on her agenda, then she would sit with Jesus and enjoy his presence. Not so, says Jesus. Mary has chosen what is better. So, use this time. Whatever this time is for you, if it's continuing to be hectic, or whether it's just a time of doing a lot of nothing, use this time as Sabbath rest. Use this time as a way to shape your life around beginning in rest, so as to prepare yourself for discipleship in the days and weeks and months ahead, whatever lies in front of us. Maybe every day you're still scrambling during this time. Well then, don't forget to take a Sabbath day rest. Take today as Sabbath rest. Not just as a reward for having worked hard in the past week, but also as a way to prepare yourself for what lies ahead. Remembering that God, in his perfect peace, is the source of all of our living. So we need to hear the words of Jesus today. Words that he spoke to Martha. Martha, Martha. Or put your name in there. Go ahead, say it to yourself out loud. Your own name. Nathan, Nathan. You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Say it to yourself. Nathan, Nathan. You worry about so many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Are you able to pursue that one thing in the midst of the upheaval that we're experiencing together? Are you able to pursue the friendship with Jesus that alone can change all that upheaval into a peace that passes all understanding? Jesus is inviting you into a practice of solitude and silence and of Sabbath. And in that discipline of your life, he invites you into his rest. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you that you are a God of peace and that you are, in fact, the source of all our living, even in such a time as this. God, you are fully present in our lives. Help us to set aside the time that we need to be able to concentrate on your presence in our lives. To be deeply aware of that, and even to be able to hear your voice in the midst of the noise of all else that distracts us. And so, Father, teach us to be as deliberate as Mary was in shaping our lives for times of solitude and silence, and indeed of Sabbath, so that we can structure our lives around you and you alone, for you only can give us the love we need. You alone can give us the hope and the peace that we depend on to live our lives with joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So enter into this week in God's rest, in a perfect peace that passes all understanding. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Go in the strength of God.
I chose this song because it has gotten a lot of people through a lot of hard times, and I thought it would sort of resonate with New Life. I hope you can sing along at home, since it's quite familiar.
When peace like a river ascended my way, when song
Sunday. Thanks for joining us.